Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast from Connecting Faith. There are many more podcasts available at our website, myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Connecting Faith. I'm Joe Bender. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. We have just a great show on tap. I'm here with a couple of my very favorite people. Ryan Thomas is working the board. And hello, Ryan. And Carissa is working our phones. So if you happen to call in to ask a question, you will get Carissa's lovely voice on that other side of the phone. But Ryan, I just wanted to say, this is Ryan's last day on my show. Now, he's not leaving our station, but it's his last day helping me. And for that, I am very grateful, Ryan. Just wanted to say thank you for walking me through this experience for the last almost 3 years.
Well, it's been an honor for me. You are truly one of the nicest people that I have ever worked with.
Duh.
Truly. And it's just been a blast and been so fun to communicate with the listeners each Friday here, and I'll be listening to you as you continue to do so.
Well, I just said, what are you going to do every Friday without my quippy wisdom and little nuggets of information that I tend to give you?
And as I said, I will be lost, and so I'll probably have to just come find you and ask you for wisdom. Probably on a weekly basis.
I will be here. But Ryan is not leaving Faith Radio. He is the genius behind our creative services, so things you see and hear on Faith Radio. And he also hosts his own show, which is called On the Road, and people can hear it here on Faith Radio on Saturday mornings. What are you talking about this weekend? Who are you talking to?
I am talking to an Egyptologist named David Roll. You would actually love this. With your professorial background.
I'm going to listen, and I did not know that someone called an Egyptologist even existed.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's pretty fascinating. He's talking about biblical evidence for the Exodus.
Ooh.
It's pretty epic stuff, actually.
Okay. Well, I look forward to listening, and if you're looking to learn things about a variety of subjects, because he really has a variety of guests on his show on Saturday, please listen in, and I'll be here next Friday, but with Ted, and Ted does a great job, too, so you'll get to know him a little bit as well. Well, today, Ryan, we're going to talk about parenting.
Yes.
Also one of my favorite subjects because I love talking about my kids. And I also, I don't know about you, but I am constantly feeling a little bit out of my league when it comes to problems and opportunities that come up with parenting, especially now that I have one son who's entering those teenage years and the problems seem to get bigger. I remember as a very young parent calling one of my friends about potty training, and I was all just flummoxed because I didn't know how to deal with this potty training. It was driving me crazy. And my friend helped me with that problem. And then she said, Joe, when you have little kids, you have little problems. Watch out, because when you have big kids, you will have big problems.
Oh, boy.
And now that wisdom is coming to light, of course, 13 years later. So if some of you feel burdened and overwhelmed as well with some of the parenting challenges that come up, one of the biggest challenges I find is I'm constantly feeling like I'm not doing enough to prepare my children for the world once they're without me. And I wanted to get some information on that by asking some people who have a lot of experience in that area. So today we are going to hear from Steve and Annie Chapman, who are, I would say, parenting experts, relationship experts. They've been writing books for a long time, traveling around, doing lots of parenting conferences and being conference speakers. And so we're going to hear from some of their wisdom. Let me tell you a little bit about them. And we will get them on the show. Steve and Annie are award-winning musicians. They are conference speakers who minister to families throughout North America. Steve has written a number of books, including A Look at Life from a Deer Stand and also 10 Ways to Prepare Your Son for Life. Annie has also written a number of books, including What Every Wife Wants Her Husband to Know and How to Tell Him, and also 10 Ways to Prepare Your Daughter for Life. Welcome, Steve and Annie.
Hello.
Howdy. Great to be with you.
It's great to have you here. You know, all parents kind of want their daughters and sons to grow up to be healthy and strong and spiritually mature. Have you had a lot of people say, kind of lament what I just did, which is, I don't know if I'm doing it right?
We have. We do conferences, and this is our 40, well, I guess we're not starting 41 years yet, are we? We're concluding our 40th year of ministry and traveling and speaking about the family. And very often we've had parents come up and say, "Where were you when my kids were little?" And we've kind of grown up with our audience. We started out 40 years ago when our kids were, we say we traveled with them from college to college. And now they are have their own families and just incredible people. So it's fun to look back when I reread my book so I would remember what I'd written. I realized we were looking towards, in a lot of ways, when we wrote this book. Now we're looking back. And I thought, yeah, this book is really good. This is really good information, and I want people to get it. So it's 15 years after we wrote it, and I think now it's more contemporary than it was when we wrote it.
And I understand the lamenting, Joe. You know, when we get to heaven, none of us are going to hear "best done." All we're going to get is a "well," and I will settle for that. But, you know, when we do all that we can, we have to rest in the fact that, you know, God has helped us, and we have every right to be the parents that we are. It's just we're not going to bat 1,000 at it. And my parents didn't, and I won't as a parent as well. But I have God's pardon, and His grace is sufficient for that. So I'm grateful for it.
Well, as I was reading your book, I was just telling Steve and Annie in our little conversation before the show that there were many times when I said, "Oh, my mom did that well," or, "Oh, my dad did that great." And then there were other times where I thought, "Oh, shoot, I wish I would have known that 5 years ago because I might have done a better job." And
well, you know, it gives us comfort to know that the perfect father had Adam and Eve, and, you know, his kids messed up. And they had no excuses about, you know, I had childhood abuse or, you know, my mom and dad worked too much, or they didn't have any of those excuses, and yet they still messed up. And so it's not an exact science. We do the best we can. We put them in God's hands, and we know that through their mistakes and through their mess-ups and through our mistakes and mess-ups, God is glorified, and His grace becomes real to us and them when we don't do it right.
Steve, one of my favorite stories I was reading just really at the beginning of your book, you were talking about how you weren't really prepared for what having a child would do to your time and freedom. And I feel like a lot of people don't think about that, myself included. We think about how to get our nursery ready and make sure that we have all the supplies that we need, but we forget to prepare ourselves for that challenge of our lives not being our own anymore. Talk a little bit about that and how that kind of changed the way that you looked at life.
Well, it's good of God. It's very smart of God to give a parent, especially a dad, 9 months to prepare for the change that he's going to face. You know, in the book, I say what would happen if you found out your wife was expecting one day and the next day, pop, there's the baby. We'd be in trouble. You know, Annie and I would go. We'd go to. We loved to play tennis, and there was a place you could go at all hours of the night, just turn the lights on. It was a public place. And we'd go do stuff like that. And we'd go to IHOP, you know, our local pancake place, all hours of the night and watch the weirdos. We loved to go watch the weirdos. And just, you know, that was over when the baby came along. Our lives completely changed. And, you know, it's part of it. But somehow when you caress that little extension of yourself, expression of yourself, you know, Nathan, our firstborn, was the first expression of our love for one another. And when you hold that little one in your arms, all of those other things that you enjoyed doing that you sacrificed not doing anymore, they sure pale in the face of that little one. But, again, it's good of God to give us 9 months to get ready for that.
And then the reward of taking care of them and not killing them when you want to, and, you know, when they're teenagers, not locking them in the room, you know, and doing all those things. The reward is they might grow up and reproduce and give you grandchildren. Mm-hmm. And then that's the payoff. That's what you've been working for your whole life, is those grandbabies, and we're just over the moon with our kids, and but our grandkids, oh my goodness, there's just nothing in the world like those. So, yeah, there's sacrifice and there's you know, adjustments to our lives, but you know, it's the pain of change or the pain of the same. You know, it's just the way it is, and so you got to grow up and just enjoy it.
One quip I used was I realized that I was going to be Nathan in a, you know, we talk about the firstborn because there's such a change comes along with the firstborn, but I realized that I'm not only his sole provider as in S-O-L-E, I would also be his soul provider, and that's S-O-U-L, and I would be responsible for teaching him, you know, how to trust God and who God is and why it is we need him. So I became a soul provider, and that was a sobering reality as well.
Well, talk a little bit more about that. What, you know, did God guide you in this? Did you have help from your church or from other friends? What were the first steps that you had to take in order to kind of be that sole provider? Is it in what you said or did, or is it in what you showed your kids, or maybe a combination?
Well, ultimately, what I wanted Nathan and Heidi, when she came along, I wanted them to know was their need for a Savior. But there were some steps I needed to take before I got to that teaching. And the first thing, the first chapter I wrote is called You'll Always Be Mine. And the very first thing I wanted the kids to know is I love them. My love for them was unconditional. And, you know, Nathan being an extension of me, a replica of me, I gave him a great disadvantage in that he was born with a sin nature. And you know, needed to understand that he was going to need a Savior, but if he didn't understand my love for him, I would provide for him the best picture of the Father in heaven who also loved him. And I encouraged, through the years, we've encouraged dads and moms to often use the words, I love you, with a child. And there's a mysterious, deep need that runs in the hearts of every one of us to hear a father, especially a father, say, I love you. And one story we told about that represents how deep that need goes is we met a couple in Alabama, and the woman told us about her husband who was in the hospital room with his dad when his dad was an elderly gentleman and was dying in a great deal of pain. And suddenly the dad just sat up in bed and looked at his son and said, what's happening to me, son? And fell back into his pillows. And his wife said that her husband ran out in the hall and just wept bitterly. And she followed him out there and said, it must be terrible to see your dad dying this way. And he said, it is, but that's not why I'm crying. He said, that's the first time in my whole life he's ever called me son. Mm. And to affirm, you know, that relationship with you're my son, I love you. Again, the need runs deep in the hearts of people. And there may be someone listening who knows exactly what I'm saying. But that's the first thing I wanted to make sure Nathan understood. If he didn't understand my unconditional love for him, he would struggle to understand the unconditional love of the Heavenly Father. So I was always looking for a way to say that I loved him. Mm-hmm. And you know, the good news is for those who may have what we call eye level kids like ours. You know, our kids are in their mid 30s. It's not too late to say those words. You may struggle to say them, but you know, you mentioned my book as I am a hunter. I enjoy it, and I was bought a 20-acre piece of property where I was hoping you know, I could find some hunting there, and I bought it in July, and I thought, wow, I'll have to wait till next spring to plant something, you know, for these deer to want to come to this piece of property. And I was in one of these big box stores, you know, where you buy your men buy their toys. And I saw on a shelf, it said food plot seed. And on the bag, I saw these words, best planted in August or mid-September. Now, I'm not a farmer, so I just assumed that all seeds were supposed to be planted in the spring. And I came home and asked my dairy farmer's daughter, wife, and I said, is this right? I can plant this in the fall? And she said, yeah. She said, I have flowers that are, you know, I plant in the fall all the time. And when I realized that I could plant in the fall, I thought about dads and moms who are yet to say, I love you, you're mine, I'm proud of you, that may be down in the fall of their life, and they feel like it's too late. Well, it's not. You can plant those seeds in the fall, and you'll get a good return for it.
Well, wise words from Steve Chapman. We're talking with Steve and Annie Chapman today about their books, 10 Ways to Prepare Your Son for Life and 10 Ways to Prepare Your Daughter for Life. We will get to more of that wisdom coming up. We just have to take a quick short break, and we'll be right back on Connecting Faith. Welcome back to Connecting Faith. Thanks so much for joining us today. You know, Steve and Annie, we pick out this bumper music the day before the show. And I love how when God just aligns it where we're talking about the exact subject, when the bumper music comes in. Isn't that amazing?
It's always amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Talking about
He's showing off.
I know. It just makes me giggle every time. That was actually Steve and Annie Chapman singing. They, of course, are musicians as well. And your songs also give the kind of practical wisdom that I read in your books as well. So thank you for blessing all of us with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
So all moms and dads, of course, want their kids to grow up to be healthy and strong and spiritually mature. We've been talking a little bit about that adult children need support, love, and encouragement just the way that small kids need. Is that something you found is often forgotten?
Well, years ago we heard someone say that toddlers and teenagers are a lot alike. The only difference is the explanations take longer. And I think we do have basic needs. You know, we all want to be loved and to receive love and to give love. And when you boil it down, that's really, no matter what age, whether you're 2 years old or you're 12 or 22, we all have the same needs for love. But and we see that some kids have actually more of a need than others. When I wrote my book, Preparing My Daughter for Life, I really wrote it as a result of our daughter bringing home a lot of her friends from college. And I realized as I met those young ladies and just precious, precious girls that so many of them seemed almost had an orphan spirit about them. They were unmothered and they were hungry, just hungry to be around family, hungry to be around an older woman, really, to teach them. I had so many of them say, will you mentor me? Will you, in other words, will you be my mother? And when I wrote this book, it was really kind of a way of extending myself towards those young women and saying, I don't have time to raise all of you, but I will write down the things that I really feel that are important for you to know as you embrace in life. And many of those girls, which are now young moms, are still in my life and still a part of my daughter's life. But this unmothered generation of young women who, in a lot of ways, the church has let them down too, because Titus 2 says that older women are supposed to teach these younger women, you know, a variety of things. And so often the older women you know, they're out doing something else, and these young girls are just left unmothered and almost with an orphan spirit of not knowing where to go and not having a safe place to go for instruction. And so I love those girls. And when I was writing this book, I was writing it towards and about my daughter, but I was really directing it as towards them as much as anyone.
Are there specific parenting opportunities or parenting rights that do fall with a mother specifically for her daughter?
Oh, I think so. Especially, I have a chapter called Beauty or Beast. And, you know, it's that girls with their image, their body image, and how beauty and their appearance is so important. Well, I think dads have a great influence on that. And of course, every dad thinks his daughter is beautiful, and that daughter's supposed to know that. And he treats her with such respect and his little princess. But there is a part of being a mother that you can speak to those body issues, body image issues that a dad really can't do that well with. And in the same way that there are issues that boys need the dad, where the mom has a great place in the boy's life, but there's places only a father can fill. But, yeah, I think there's definitely things that a woman can teach them. In the book, Preparing Your Daughter for Life, I also include how to identify an abusive boyfriend. And I think this is another issue that mothers can really speak to maybe more directly and in a different approach than a father could, where you really are warning these young girls to beware of certain traits in these young men that are trouble for these girls. Because, you know, so many of these, I don't know the statistics now, but at the time it was one out of every three would be misused sexually or physically by a boyfriend. That's not a husband, that's a boyfriend. And yet these girls stayed with him. And so, yeah, I think there's definitely a place where a mother has to step in and train their daughter in a way that a father can't.
Well, and fathers do play, just like you said, just such a big role as well. I can even think about my brothers playing a big role as I became older and was more of a teenager, that my dad had almost taught my brothers as well how to treat a woman, and my brothers taught me how I should be treated, if that makes any sense, and
it reminded me.
Was just great affirmation. Parents have such an opportunity there to really help their daughter to know how they should be treated just by how she's treated in the family.
Well, and too often, sometimes the brothers are the problem, and the brothers are not treating their sisters with respect. They're not only bullies, but oftentimes they make the sister a victim.
Well, now that's a whole other book then. I feel like I could write that on my own from my three brothers. I'm so sorry to interrupt. We have to take a hard break at the end of the hour, so we have just about 30 seconds left. But we will be back with more questions and comments. And if you have some questions of your own for Steve or Annie Chapman, well, we'd love to get those on the air as well. You can give us a call at 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. And we also have a few books to give away, so give us a call if you'd like to get one of those as well. We'll be right back in just a minute on Connecting Faith with Steve and Annie Chapman.
Turn your heart toward home. Turn your heart toward home. You've been gone so long. Turn your heart toward home.
Well, welcome back to Connecting Faith. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. I'm privileged to speak with Steve and Annie Chapman today. They've authored several books. The two we're talking about today are 10 Ways to Prepare Your Son for Life by Steve Chapman and 10 Ways to Prepare Your Daughter for Life by Annie Chapman. And Steve and Annie, we were just kind of talking about dating and boys and girls and a lot of the conversations that parents need to have with their teenage sons and daughters need to come long before they're noticing boys and girls, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Nathan, I have a chapter in my book for him called First Comes Love. And then the following chapters, then comes marriage, but first comes love. One thing I did for Nate was, it's been many years since Dr. Dobson produced Preparing for Adolescence, which was at the time a cassette tape series, and there may be some who remember cassette tapes. I took him to providing a distraction from what I was about to tell him, because on the tapes, Dr. Dobson, you know, makes it very clear what the girl is all about. They're not just soft boys. They're actually different creatures. And I was going to give him some pretty, not terribly graphic, but it was going to be some information that he had not heard before. And so to provide an environment where that could be done, I called Atlanta and the Fellowship of Christian Athletes down there, and I said, is there any way you could use me for one of your chapel services before an Atlanta Hawks game? And as it turned out, they could. So I went down, and we got in the locker room. Nathan and I, he was 10 years old, and I was able to take him into the locker room to these basketball players, and he was just enthralled with that.
He got Michael Jordan's autograph.
And then he tried to sell it.
Of course.
He's an entrepreneur.
It was a Hawks-Bulls game, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, within the context of that, we stayed at a hotel room, and I said, I want you to hear what Dr. Dobson has to say about girls. And so we listened, and it was an eye-opener for him. But I gave him, after we listened, and, he had a lot of questions, but I said, son, this is stuff that's just between me and you, and I know you're just 10 years old, and your buddies are going to want to ask you what you know. But I said, here, let me show you something. And I filled up a glass of water in the hotel room to the very top, and I said, okay, I'm gonna walk the other side of the room. Now you walk over here with that water just at regular pace. And of course, by the time he got to me, a lot of it had sloshed out. I said, go fill that glass up again and walk over here without spilling a drop. And he came over to me. Of course, it took him a minute to get to me. But he still had all the water in the glass. And I said, son, this is the way I want you to walk with this information. I want you to walk real careful and not spill it on your buddies. And he took that to heart. And that information, my goal was to give him a good foundation for understanding what the girl is all about, what the woman, what God's design is for marriage, and to help him in that area of his life. And my dad's sex talk, for lack of a better term, was I was leaving for college. And he leaned into the car. I rolled the window down. The last thing he said to me was, keep your zipper up. And I had a bladder problem for years after that. That was the best he could do, but I knew what he was saying. He just didn't go into any detail. And anyway, I wanted to do better than that. So
I'll add one thing that I told Nathan. And he's 39, and he'll be 39 his birthday now. So he wrote a song about this just in the last year. It was so funny because he said he never forgot what I said. But Nathan had a tendency to give his heart away. He would always, he would like a girl, and he was always immediately serious. He didn't date, he got engaged and that kind of thing. And I told him, I said, Nathan, your heart's like a sticker. And if you've ever put a sticker on a sweater and you take it off and then you keep putting it back on, eventually you lose your stickum. And when you keep giving your heart away, you're going to lose your ability to remain true if you keep giving your heart away. So this past year he wrote a song called Stickin' With You. And he said, I never forgot that example that I gave him, just warning him not only don't give your body away, but how about not giving your heart away?
Hmm. So those talks that we have with our kids, even at a young age, what are the fruits of having that at a younger age versus not having them at all or having them at the window as they're headed to college? What's the hope that for you as a parent that those kids will gain through having that talk early?
Well, you become their confidant. You become the one of the that has the information, and you're the one that can tell them the truth, and they're not shying away from as though you don't know. You know, they have to keep a secret from you. Nathan took Steve took Nathan to a Hawks Bulls game in Atlanta. I took Heidi at the same age to the Opryland Hotel here in Nashville, and Steve had sent flowers to the room. I gave her a China doll that she would give to her daughter the first time, you know, when she has the talk. It was something she would pass down to her daughter. We listened to the same set of tapes that Nathan and Steve had listened to, and she and I became the person that she could come to, and the same information. I said, this is not to discuss with your girlfriends. You have questions, you come to me. They don't know anything. I know everything, and I will tell you anything you need to know and anything you're wanting to ask me. I'll be honest with you and tell you. And so we become their go-to person. That's the purpose of doing this young, is so that you establish a relationship, a trusted relationship, and one that is based on fact and not, you know, just salacious soap opera stuff. It's really the truth. And I think it's very important. And now Heidi, she's dreading it with all that's in her. It's time for her to do this with her daughter. And she's going, Mom, how did you do this? It's not easy, but that you've got to be the person that tells them in order for them to be the one that you trust.
Well, and it's true because everyone has a story of how it was done for them and it didn't work or was too late. Or, I mean, everyone has one of those stories. And so it can kind of be encouraging, like, well, someone's got to rip that Band-Aid off and it might as well be us instead of
right. The
kid who's on the school bus with you.
And I remember Steve telling Nathan, said on their drive back from Atlanta, Nathan said, you know, Dad, I wish... Sometimes I just wish I was just a regular kid again and not know that stuff. And isn't it a shame? You have to tell them this stuff at such an early age, but if you don't, they really will get it from somewhere else and maybe in such a way that it'll mess them up for the rest of their lives. It's a shame, but it's the reality.
Well, and that can be true for so many things that are going on in our world. If we're not the ones to tell our kids what terrorism is, for example,
right. Then
they're not going to know. They're going to presume or have their own ideas or ask a kid on the bus. And so we do have, it is a burden, but also an opportunity as parents that we have to educate and lead them.
Well, that's why I think in Deuteronomy it talks about teach them on the way, teach them when you sit down, when you lie down, when you get up, when you eat together. It's a constant. It's not just one conversation. It's a continuous conversation, and it's a continuous communication with your children, so that they know that you're a safe place and that they can come to you if they have a question.
Well, and it does seem that there are so many different times when we may not be specifically talking about God and His provision, but my 10-year-old just realized or noticed, I guess, as we were just watching a television show, a popular show, where someone was singing a song and they said, I'm giving all glory to God for this accomplishment. And my 10-year-old said, hey, she believes in God. And I thought, well, of course. And what a great opportunity that she got to talk about that on what God gave her and how He provided for her. And so if we weren't always talking about who God is and how He, of course, is part of our lives and is our all in all, then He wouldn't have noticed that or wouldn't have said something about it. So it is a constant job for us, isn't it?
When Nathan and Heidi were in there, you know, around 10 or 11, it was 1987, 88, and the internet was, you know, we didn't have internet. And Annie and I readily admit that was a great advantage for us, not for them not to have had already seen or heard things that that they would have heard outside of our telling them. And it's frightening to think about, you know, the challenge that parents face now with the information age that we're living in. That's everything is available to these kids. And but I agree with Annie. It's important that we be their go-to person for this information. And you know how sad it is. Our hearts break for kids who didn't have. They grew up without, for whatever reason, they grew up without a parent. And recently, we wrote this story about a young man that we know who's struggled so much with his life. And I'll quote the lyric to you. And it says, "I was just a kid in the back seat riding with my father. I saw him look at me in that rearview mirror. I didn't know what he was thinking. How am I going to tell that boy that I'll be leaving? He just went away. And since that day, the road of life ain't been easy. I tried moving on, but the memories keep me. Wishing for what I never had. Missing all the right turns because I was looking back. To see his eyes ain't no way to drive in that rearview mirror. I wonder if he knew just a phone call or maybe just a letter. To say it wasn't my fault might have made it better. Sometimes I imagine he's somewhere on a highway, can't see where he's going because he sees my face through the tears and through the years. The road of life ain't been easy." Mm. And there are people listening right now. That's their story. And they may be, you know, mid-30s, and there's information they didn't get from their parents. Anyone who is listening who is thinking about walking away from a family, from their little kids, I hope that will open their eyes to what's in the future for those children and do what they can to work things out so they can be a present figure in those children's lives.
When you were working with your kids, were there other men and women, other Christian men and women who were part of that experience of teaching faith and integrity in their lives as well?
They sure were, and when our kids turned 13, it wasn't a bar mitzvah per se, but it was along that line where we invited all of the adults, and our kids had a lot of adults in their lives. And they always sat at the big people table. You know, they never wanted to sit at the kids table. They sat with us in church, in big church we called it. They didn't sit with the youth group. They didn't. They always wanted to be with the adults, and we encouraged that too. But when they were 13, we had a party, and we invited all those adults to come in and that had been a part of their lives, and they laid hands on them, and they prayed for them, and they dedicated them. And then they wrote letters, and we gave them this a book with the letters of all these adults in their lives that said, "I am here for you, no matter where you go or how old you get, we're always here for you." And so we felt it was really important to surround our children with godly adults and their input in our kids' lives. And we did that with both our son and our daughter.
Well, I'm talking to Steve and Annie Chapman today. We're just talking about ways to prepare your sons and daughters for life with the books that they wrote with both of those titles. We'll be back to talk more about that. We still have a couple of copies to give away. If you're listening in and you'd like to get your hands on one of those, or maybe you have an adult son or daughter who's going to be starting a family of their own and you'd like them to have some instruction and encouragement, this would be a great way to do so. You can give us a call at 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. We'll be right back with Steve and Annie Chapman. Wise words from Steve and Annie Chapman. Beautifully sung. And I was laughing when you said something about tapes. I probably heard most of your songs on an audio tape as well. And people don't know what those are anymore. So it makes me sad.
Well, yeah. We even have LPs and 8-tracks, so we're really old as Moses.
I brought an 8-track.
Moses came to one of our first concerts.
Excellent.
He was really old at the time.
I noticed, though, that sometime artists today will talk about albums and records, and so I don't think it's a lost art, and those of us who have those should be happy and proud that we appreciate the albums that we used to have, the vinyl records that we used to have.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
You'll be glad to know in Nashville they still refer to them as records.
Excellent.
Even CDs, yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean we're old. It just means that we're seasoned and art appreciators of art.
That's right.
And able to get our Social Security.
Well, you know, our kid, we treated them right, and one day Nathan said, you know, you two have been – such good parents, he said, when you get old, we're going to make sure you get the creamy Alpo instead of the dry.
Well, that's, you know, good. Someone's going to take care of
you. When I read the reread my book, I realized we are so proud of our kids, and the things that we taught them, they actually took. And I really encourage people to get this book, not because we wrote it, but because there's so much truth in it. And our kids they've just proven those principles and those the Word of God right. And we're so grateful for them.
Do I hear some bragging about to happen here?
Well, no.
Well, it was.
We love our kids.
They are great kids.
We just love them to death.
As I was reading, I did write down this question because we're talking about this. I said, "Is now your grandparents? Are you watching the fruits of your labor take place before your eyes? And what is it like to see hard work come to fruition?"
One of the things that we did, and you know, Matthew 6 says, "If you do this well, no one knows it." But we decided when they were young to devote Wednesday to praying for our kids, and along with praying for them, we would fast. And again, you know, Matthew 6 says, if you do that, don't tell anybody. But this is post having raised our children, and we can testify to the effectiveness of this. So when Wednesday came, usually Tuesday night after dinner until Wednesday evening meal, we would concentrate our prayers and our efforts on our kids, and they knew it. And I would say to them, you know what your mother's doing for you today on Wednesday? And Annie would say, you know what your dad's doing? And they would hate it. They felt intimidated by that, being, you know, pursued that way in prayer. Hmm. But as time went on, when Nathan was in college, for example, he called home one day and he said, are you doing that Wednesday thing still?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I got a situation I need for you to add to your prayers about this. And then as time has gone on, they've had their own children. Now they do it.
And Nathan told me one day, he said, every good thing that ever happened to me happened on a Wednesday.
Oh.
And it was so sweet, but they really appreciate it. And Steve says we, and I say Steve. Steve's the faithful one to do that and did it before they were born. But, God hears and answers our prayers, and we are grateful for our kids. They really are great kids.
And then the latest thing we've written is called 52 Prayers for our Grandkids.
Oh, yeah.
And these are prayers, paraphrased scriptures is what the prayers are, but it's full of stories about why we pray this particular thing for our kids, and there's 52 categories. And that was one of the most enjoyable things we ever wrote together.
Oh, yeah.
So,
and we have our sixth grandchild is due the first week of January.
We have four doe and one buck in the herd right now, and another buck on the way.
Yeah, we're going to get two boys out of this deal.
How do you raise your children, continue to, I guess you're not raising your children, but how do you continue to impart wisdom into their lives today now that they're raising their own children?
Okay, I've got
it's delicate, right?
I've got to tell you what our general response is when they say, especially when they first got married and they were spending money with abandon that they didn't have. They would call and say, yeah, we're going to go to Florida, you know, for a week. And our response was, Annie, what was it?
Really? Wow. Sure. Those were the only three words we ever gave them when they got their own families. We did not offer information or offer counsel to them now that they're on their own, they really do come and ask, and we'll give them our opinion, but very sparingly.
Annie is the best mother living and the best grandmother, and I'll tell you why. She does not guilt her children into showing up at Christmas time. Now she's been known to be tempted to resort to that.
But Steve's always stopped me before I could.
But she's very lenient. We celebrate seasons and not specific days. Like our kids now on...
Like we're not going to get a Thanksgiving this year because our kids are going to their in-laws for Thanksgiving.
But you won't see Annie moping about it.
No.
She deals with it because, you know, turnabout's fair play. We'll get them next year. But
I said I can either be flexible or pitiful. And I choose to be flexible, and that helps my kids. And if you're an adult child and you've ever had to eat four turkeys, you know, in 2 days, you know what I'm talking about. I just don't do that to the kids.
Well, it's true, and it's difficult because we want to please you, and so we're doing our best to try to please each of our parents, but it is difficult to have those two meals on one day.
Right, yeah, so you need at least one of those parents to say, no, don't feel obligated to do that here.
Yeah, and then they go off and cry.
That's okay.
Well,
but you ask about our grandkids, and we keep our grandkids overnight. Each family gets a night that we keep the grandkids so that the parents can go on a date. And that's the deal. If we keep the kids, you have to go on a date. And so that's our contributions to our adult children's marriage.
Well, I'm assuming that your kids also learn a lot about marriage from watching you or having watched you. Maybe they appreciate it more now than they did, of course, when they were living in your house. That seems like really good advice that you're not imparting advice unless you're asked for that advice. What can you say to other people?
I'm glad you said that because sometimes they do ask, you know, what do you think about this expenditure or this decision? You know, we'll give our opinion and our thoughts, but ultimately we know the choice is theirs.
Now, before they left home, they got an earful. I mean, we told them what we expected, and we really did train them and discipline them and all that. But once they got married and they were on their own, we turned that faucet off, didn't pour that on them.
I taught them everything I know, but I didn't teach them everything they know. So.
That is good advice. Well, yeah. Steve and Annie Chapman, we're just so grateful that you took this hour to spend with us and gave us a lot to think about and a lot of wisdom as well. The books we've been talking about today are 10 Ways to Prepare Your Son for Life and 10 Ways to Prepare Your Daughter for Life. And tell us where we can find out more information about the other books that you have written or a website.
Well, you can go to our website, StephenAnnieChapman.com. You can go to Harvest House website and look our names up, and you'll see all the titles there and a lot of Amazon and places like that and Christian bookstores.
I saw Steve's hunting books at Lifeway, so that was a good thing.
Well, it is.
They're all over the place.
It's hunting season, so in fact, I'm hanging up and heading off. So.
Well, good luck on your endeavors, and thanks again for joining us for this program. And if you want to hear more from Steve and Annie Chapman, you can go to our website at myfaithradio.com, listen to the podcast of this show, or catch another one as well. Again, thanks for joining us, and have a wonderful day, Steve and Annie, and have a wonderful day to all of our listeners. Bye-bye now.